This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. We've got to say hello and welcome in our audience in Richmond for the first time today. With us for the next 3 hours, they're listening on AM 910 FM 105.1. Everyone else has been listening the last hour on the flagship in and around D.C., 106.7 The Fan. We appreciate you, and thank you very much for being part of the program today. Taking you up to 6:30 and overtime. We'll keep it live and local this evening. No Nats baseball until tomorrow. They are off, and they've got a brand new series starting at home tomorrow night. More on that as we go today. But let's get to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. We've got a Super Bowl champion to talk to, one of the great offensive minds and play callers in league history. Mike Martz is joining us on Grant and Danny. Broke down Sam Howell's film for the 33rd team. Just tweeted out a link. You could check it out when the interview's over in just a few minutes. Mike, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us in D.C. How are you?
I'm good. It's my pleasure.
Really appreciate it, Mike. Let's start with what you liked about Sam Howell. There wasn't much game tape in Washington to go over, I suppose, only that one start, I guess preseason as well. But what did you see from his North Carolina tape and what you've seen here in Washington that you think, hey, this could be something?
Well, I think you start with the skill level. You just got to make sure that, you know, his skill level, he's really good enough. And it starts with, above everything else, accuracy. And he has that. I mean, he's a guy with strong legs that can drive the ball when he wants to, but he can be very accurate on the deep ball. He's got touch. He can make all those throws, at least from what I've seen on tape. And he's a tough guy. He's very competitive. I know it's he's got a high motor. I'm sure he demands respect from guys just because he's a very intense player, and that intensity, though, if not bridled, I think I'm in trouble a little bit in college. I think, you know, the mistakes that he made in college are just a question of being, you know, undisciplined more than anything else. And in a more of a structured deal in the NFL and with the right guy, I think, I was surprised. I didn't realize he had that kind of ability and was that promising. But when I looked at him here in that last game, he was remarkably different. I think the Commanders did a terrific job with him. Kenny Zampezi, in terms of the footwork, and all of a sudden the tempo of his drop really increased, and his eyes were where they're supposed to be, and he wasn't trying to do stuff they shouldn't do, which he did a lot in college. I mean, he had a lot of dumb plays where he tried to extend the play, he had no business fumbling the ball and doing those kinds of things. So there's a lot there to deal with, and after looking at the tape, and especially the last game against the Cowboys there's enough on the tape to really say, there's something to this guy. You know, I think more than anything, he has to learn the discipline of the game. And the only thing I don't know is the read and react thing, how quick he can see and digest things and react to it without having to think about it. And that's how you play the game, you know. But he's got some truly unique things that the really good ones got to have. He's a guy, and they don't come along very often, that can be off balance and will throw the ball through windows, you know, the pass rush lanes, instead of trying to throw it over the guy's head. He can throw the ball accurately off on one leg, the Patrick Mahomes kind of thing. And I've seen him do it many times, and I was kind of astonished at it. He just does it, you know. And I think the best thing that possibly happened to him in his whole career is that he did go to the Commanders and that Eric Bieniemy is going to be his coach. And, you know, the discipline of what they do and the complexity of their passing game will change him absolutely. And it'll be exciting to see, you know, how it takes him to get into the groove of things. But I wouldn't expect it to take too long. But I think it's a perfect match for them. You know, when you get a guy with that kind of talent, and potential that's just he's very raw and disciplined, and you put him with somebody that of Eric's caliber and knowledge and ability to teach, I think only good things are going to happen there.
Mike Martz on Grant and Danny. When you studied all the college film you were talking about, what do you make of him going in the fifth round? Like, what kind of draft grade would you have given him, and what do you think about where he ended up coming off the board?
Well, I thought that was awful low for, you know, I probably would have looked at him as being, you know, a third-round pick or maybe late two. The thing that hurt him so bad was, first of all, he's not real tall, and the guys, all of a sudden one guy's 6'4 and all that, but the biggest thing is some of the dumb plays that he had. He'd be going along great guns, and then, you know, he's trying to hang on to the ball, and he's in the grasp, and he tried to make a throw, and gets batted and intercepted or fumbled and run back, and he had a lot of those. And I think that hurt him. I think it really did hurt him. But I think with the discipline of the NFL and how they approach the game at that position, he didn't do those things in that last game. You could see him, you know, a couple times when he took off with it, he wanted to, you know, he kind of wanted to go up on his own, and then, nope, he did the right thing. You know, ran out of bounds or, you know, threw the ball away. And those are the things you're going to have to learn. And but to answer your question, I really don't know. You know, it's why did Tom Brady, you know, go when he went? Who knows? You know, it's just the flavor, you know, it happens. And that's what makes the game so good is it's not predictable. And these guys, you know, can come through. And hopefully he has a great career.
One of the great offensive minds in league history, Mike Martz, joins us here on Grant and Danny. And, Mike, what about Eric Bieniemy's system specifically? Do you see as kind of a nice mesh point with what Sam Howell does well right now?
Well, you know, it has the ability to do anything at any time. You know, it's not a system where this is just what you do every week. You know, and those things, you can have success, and then when people catch on to it, it just kind of shuts you down a little bit. So this thing will transform over the week into or transition into different things every week. And once he learns it, and that's the big issue, is he's got to learn it so well he doesn't have to think about it. And that doesn't come right away, you know, for quarterbacks. That take even the brightest guys, it takes a little bit of time, you know. But once he gets it and understands it and has a discipline to run that system, there couldn't be a better guy, you know, to have running that system right now than Eric. I think it's just a perfect match.
Mike Martz did a great breakdown. The 33rd team, you can check out. I tweeted it out at Grant H. Paulson. Danny tweeted it out at Funny Danny, joining us to discuss Sam Howell. From an evaluation standpoint of a quarterback, how much should we be able to take out of preseason play? Because he played a ton last August. We were really impressed. But it is exhibition games. And then his only game was in Week 18. And in baseball, there's this adage about, you know, not falling for what happens in September when teams are out of contention. I wonder if there's anything like that in football. I know the Cowboys needed that game that day for at least a couple quarters. But the Commanders were playing free and easy and had been eliminated. Is there any worry about like putting too many eggs in either a preseason or like a Week 18 basket with your intel?
You know, when you line up in that ball, get snapped, whether it's preseason or not, and I know the intensity is a little bit different. There's no question, but not for the quarterback. You know, I think the speed is still very high. The competition level is still very high. But just the having to get back and make decisions and good throws, you know, regardless, preseason or not, that's why it's so different for quarterbacks. And that's why he just looks so different just in that 1 year from his college days. And it just kind of blew me away that transition, the discipline that he's starting to develop now and the buy-in and just talking to those coaches there too, because I called them afterwards. And the thing that they're just kind of taken by is aside from the ability and whatnot, and is – who he is and how much respect he commands from the players. Players love him, evidently. And, you know, players don't feel that way about guys that aren't tough and committed. No, you just don't. You know, if they know he's all in and he'll do anything he can to win, and he's that kind of competitor, because the best competitor in your team needs to be your quarterback early. And just watch him, you can see that. The thing I loved about him that jumped off the tape, that when I looked at Kurt Warner over in the Europe League, that was very evident, is he's a tough guy. He'd get beat up, he'd bounce right up. He'll make throws with a guy just having an arm coming down across his head, you know. He just stands in there and grits his teeth and just makes it, you know. And those guys are hard to come by now. And I think that I really think he's going to really grow a great deal here this year with the potential of really being a special player. I really believe that, because – and I think if Eric Bieniemy wasn't there, it's not going to grow like, you know, like I said, I think maybe it's going to be something else. But I think it's a perfect storm right there.
Coach, how would you handle a young passer like this? Just sort of philosophically. I remember, you know, all those years when your offenses were so effective, it was just, we're flooding the zone with receivers, man. If you want to try to come after us, you're probably going to get beat. And, you know, maybe you hit my quarterback a time or two, but you're going to have to dust yourself up and run back 20, 30, 40 yards, you know, after a big play of sorts. How would you handle a guy that's sort of still getting his feet wet in this league, even with the talent and the good attributes we're talking about here with Hal? What would you do to sort of make him as successful as possible early on and try to build?
So when you put things in with him, he's got to have complete understanding of what's going on. If he doesn't, he can't move forward with newer things. You know what I mean? So you got to give him a lot of snaps in camp and, you know, make sure that he's grounded in all the blitz protections. And what I did with the young quarterbacks, and I just kept that throughout my career in the league, and I got this from Ernie Zampezi, is I never put the protections on the quarterback. You got too much to worry about. I said, you just get back. Know if there's a blitz, if you got to hot it or side adjust it. That's number one. But just get back and figure out who to throw the ball to and make a good throw. That's enough. Omaha, too. Yeah, over here. Yeah, we're Ringo. Mike over there. You go back to him, he snaps the ball. He's a drunk, you know. So I think the biggest deal there is you take as much off the plate of the young guy. You know, the center can call the protections. Our center's always called out the protections. You know, and I think just make sure you understand where the ball's supposed to go in the coverage. See the coverage. Get back in time. Set your feet. Make a good decision, a good throw. That's where it all starts. And then if you want to start moving some things on, some check with me's and stuff of that nature, that's fine. But be very careful about all the extra outside of just throwing the football that you ask him to do.
Mike, how much would you ask Sam Howell to run this year? He ran for 100 yards 7 times in his final year at North Carolina and showed the ability to make plays with his feet in Week 18 last year.
Well, the conversation I'd have with him is, that's nice. And occasionally, in a critical situation, you feel it's man-to-man coverage and you get the first down, that's fine. But you're going to make a living in this league by how well you throw the football and how good you are at it, and you have to understand that.
But in terms of designed, like read option, you wouldn't do a lot of that with him.
You know, see, here's the thing about that to me. You've got so much invested in the quarterback in that respect. You know, if he's a great passer, if he's got some really terrific skill, and I think Sam has got some unusual skill, and when it's fully developed, I mean, why would you ask Patrick Mahomes to run?
I wouldn't.
No. I mean, and that's the point. I think when it's just an average passer or whatever, I think you make him an unusual passer with that kind of talent. If he has that talent, I think he is unusual. So I think that's where you head with it. Get as much out of him as you can in that, see how good he can be, and if he can make some plays, run the ball. But to put a run play in for him, that's why they pay those running backs, you know.
Coach, you touched on this earlier, some of those, you know, hero plays when three different guys are draped all over him and he's trying to still make a throw here and there. But I'd love for you to go into a little bit more weaknesses you see right now, or maybe areas you think he can improve, talking Sam Howell.
So the only thing I can't really evaluate, because there's not enough of it, is – you know, when he gets back in the zone and you have a number of receivers, you know, that are crossing or whatever, you have a high low or whatever, his ability to read things and use his eyes and make quick decisions, good decisions, quick decisions, you know, and that decision making into the zone against man to man, you got a man beater over there on every play. Hey, on this play, if it's man to man, we're going over here. That's easy. But when you have like a cover six or cover two or three or whatever it is, and you're working a dig and a drag with a check down to the back coming out of the backfield, and you want him to hold his eyes and move the back a bit, you know, how well he does that and, you know, how disciplined he is and not trying to hold it and make the throw, but just checking it down, you know. And I saw that in the last game. He checked it down three times. I was astonished because I just didn't think he'd do it, but he did it, you know, and on third downs. And so I think it's probably there. You know, that's the only gray area is how good he is at just the decision-making aspect of it. But the rest of it's there. I mean, it's hard to find guys that have his ball skills to begin with and then are tough guys and compete at a high level. I'm convinced he's an extraordinary competitor. I just think he's a very intense guy that works against him because he won't give up on a play. And you just got to teach him the discipline of that. But how well he reads things and gets the ball out remains a little bit to be seen, but he did enough of it in that last game against the Cowboys where I think there's a nice shining light there someplace.
Mike Martz, coordinator, one of the best offenses ever. Had a heck of a run as a head coach, too, 53-32. About 63% of his games were wins as a head coach in his time in the NFL. Hey, just a quick nerd question, and I know it's different based on defense and situation and all these things, but what was your favorite play to call?
Four verticals. I love that play.
Four verts.
But is it that simple as like four verts, or are you like building?
It's called 99. It's double right or left, ace 99. Get back and get your four verticals, and based on the coverage, you know where the ball's going to go.
Dictating terms.
Yeah, I mean, so if it's covered two, you're into the boundary. You're trying to move the safety. If you don't move the safety, then the ball kicks outside immediately. You know, those kinds of things. And if it's man-to-man, then you're on the outside, and you like you pick the matchup. You know, and your talk with the quarterback pregame in that week is, you know, we like to, if we get go routes, we want this guy and that guy. That's the guy we want. That's where you go. You hold the safety as long as you can, kick it out there. You know, and then if it's cover three, you're trying to move the safety and hit the crease, you know, those kinds of things. So on every coverage, there's something different for the quarterback to do. And when he does it properly and everybody's good, then they're always touchdowns or huge plays.
What about, let's say, like you got a fourth and five. Is there like a play in middle of the field for like 8-9 yards that you called more than any other?
You know, actually on a fourth and five, to be honest with you, and I know it's going to sound stupid, but on a fourth and five, what will the defense do? They're going to play 5 yards. We're going to go over the top. Might as well. You know, you got a better chance of completing that as you do 5 yards, right? I mean, you know, my last year, when I coached the Bears, we get into fourth and two, and we threw probably 60% of our third and one or fourth and ones were touchdowns. You know, they were just, you know, the safety's down, the corners, they know you. They're just convinced that you're just going to run it up in there or it's going to be a slant or some dumb thing. And last in the world they expect is throw it over. You know, in our playoff game against the Seahawks, when I was with Chicago there, it was a cold, cold day. And I just remember the safety on third and three, the strong safety on Greg Olsen there, the strong safety on tape, if it was a third and less than six, he sat right there. He didn't move. He was going to jump the tight end. He was going to hook or turn that. We were in right by him for a 50-yarder, you know. Yeah, so we're in the end zone in four plays. So it was good. Those when you can predict.
You guys scored 35 that day.
Yeah, when you predict what the animal on the other side there, if you can show him a piece of meat and get him to growl and jump, then it's good. You're going to have a good day. And some are predictable. You look at some players on tape and they can't help themselves. They're going to peek and look and. So you give them a little pump and go, those kinds of things. So those are always fun to do. But they're really great teams and disciplined teams like Belichick. Those are hard to get.
58-yard touchdown to Olsen on that play, by the way.
And
I'm looking it up now.
That's funny. Mike, this is really a treat, man. Really appreciate it. Great breakdown of Sam Hammett. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. Enjoyed it. You guys, take care.
Thank you.
Thanks,
33rd
Mike.
Team is where you can go find his work. 33rd Team's doing some awesome stuff. They got a bunch of former GMs and coaches doing really sharp breakdowns.
So just thinking about Bartz's career, right? Just awesome in St. Louis. Obviously, we know the score. But there were years where he's probably calling the game the same way. It probably didn't work when you got John Kitna and, like, you know, Sean, but what was that guy's name in San Francisco? Like Harris?
Remember Sean that guy? O'Hara?
Sean, I can't remember.
The Maryland guy?
No, it was
Sean Hill.
Sean Hill, yeah.
He went to Maryland.
Yeah, it's not the same. You know what I mean? It's like Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer. You can call your third and four forverts or get over the top or
so
Jay Cutler
here,
with an arm.
You know, in 97 and 98.
Yeah.
In Washington, coaching quarterbacks. And so I didn't realize this, just looking it up now. I'm guessing Trent Green flourished under him, and that's why Trent Green chose to go to St. Louis. And it was Green who got hurt at the beginning of the Kurt Warner story and movie, literally and figuratively. Or Trent Green. Ended up having a heck of a career in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, ended up finally getting right, yeah.
He would hand the ball off to a guy named Priest Holmes early in that Kansas City time.
Just winning fantasy titles for people.
He was my fantasy running back for like six straight years.
Of course he was.
Loved Priest Holmes. Good Sam Howell conversation, though, and that makes you feel good about the quarterback. I'm getting some tweets here from people who are steamed up right now for Sam Howell. Brian says, all right, well, sounds like we have an MVP quarterback.
Here we go.
Why not?
Forverts.
So Dan Graziano of ESPN.com actually today wrote a question for every team's quarterback situation. Want to get into what he said about Howell and the Commanders. We could do that next on G&D here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
In 30 minutes at 4 o'clock, if you want to go see Bert Kreischer, we've got tickets for you. You got to be listening. Grant and Danny, welcome back. This is The Fan. Danny, did you know 4 conference finals games have been played in the NHL so far? All 4 have gone to overtime.
That's wild.
Panthers beat the Hurricanes on the road. Matthew Tkachuk has scored both game-winning goals.
Was that the 4 overtime piece, or is that the other one?
That was the game that went 4.
Okay.
Golden Knights beat the Stars twice at home in overtime. Nothing better, by the way, than a home overtime win in the playoffs. Makes you feel good heading for the exits. Do you know how many times, I'd actually love to know the number, I've been at Capital One Arena and left after one of those excruciating, back-breaking, just stomach-turning goals where you see your goalie give up the pucks in the back of the net. Everyone's heading to the exit, sadly, in overtime.
You can hear the 17 fans of the other team in the dead silent arena.
Well, on TV,
cheering.
You know that noise.
Oh.
Where it's like the it's loud but quiet.
Yes.
It's like 1,000 people making a lot of noise. In the arena, it's just a terrible sound. And then you try to leave as fast as possible. But 4 games, all 4, to overtime in the NHL playoffs. A little bit more competitive than in the NBA, where 6 games have been played, and we've got 2 teams on the precipice of sweeps, including the Lakers and LeBron, who could be done tonight.
So it is wild that 2 very different ways, you still have domination, quote-unquote, in series. So both teams are up 2 games to none in the hockey playoffs, 3 games to none in the NBA. Very different paths to get there, though. You've got 30-point thumpings in a must-have game, you know, from Miami and Boston, et cetera, versus overtime, nothing but overtime.
I guess we'll see. I would be willing to bet those 2 series don't both go 3-0 because it's just been so tight. But, yeah, it's very possible. All right, so you just heard from Mike Martz. If you missed the interview, 33rd team's former coordinator analyst, you should listen to it when we're done at thefandc.com. We'll get it posted after the show tonight for you. But it got me to thinking about something I'd read this morning from Dan Graziano. So he called this piece, I guess, 32 QB questions. And the gist was he went through every NFL team and asked a burning question about the quarterback situation. With Washington, the question was, is Sam Howell really an NFL starter? And what are the implications if he isn't? So I'm just going to read the short breakdown here, and we'll react to it.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts, shrug emoji. How can anyone know this for sure? Even the people in the commander's building? Question mark. I will say that I had a few scouts and personnel people telling me prior to the 2022 draft, they thought Hal might turn out to be the best quarterback in the draft. Washington has seen enough from Hal in 1 year that it didn't pursue Lamar Jackson, Jimmy Garoppolo, Aaron Rodgers, or any other clear upgraded quarterback this offseason, and they didn't draft one either. Your thoughts on that?
Kind of jives with, you know, what I thought, certainly who am I, and it seems like what, you know, a lot of folks thought kind of industry-wide, right? Where in a bad quarterback class, because that's what that was. This was not this past year. This is not, you know, what next year is going to be or some of the other years that we've seen. This was a very down QB group headlined by Kenny Pickett and a bunch of guys that got a lot of attention, more particularly good. If you're not judging someone as the immediate answer, I can see why they don't go in the first round, maybe even in the second round, et cetera. But end up as a fifth rounder, it's a bit revisionist to go back and say, because the night of, nobody's going, oh my God, what the hell happened to Sam Howell? It was, oh, did you notice that? It wasn't like this apocalyptic, what are we doing? How did everyone pass on this kid type thing? He wasn't the story. Malik Willis was the story. And you know, where Kenny Pickett went was a story, among others. So it's a bit revisionist. But yeah, I mean, that kind of jives where he had a really good freshman and sophomore year. This is not Alabama. This is UNC. Good, but not one of these elite programs. When you lose a bunch of guys there, it's a different animal. You don't just have pros waiting in the wings. They lost the line. Two excellent running backs, so their best receivers, including De'Ami Brown, they all of a sudden were not the same team, so he had to be a completely different player. I liked that. Doesn't really bode as well for, like, as you're growing as a quarterback, to not expound on the skill set that people want to see at the next level.
The only thing about it that vexes me some is he is doing what people love to do, which is to act like everything equal, Washington would prefer Hal to Lamar or Garoppolo or Rodgers, which is not a thing. Everything is not equal. You know, this notion that they chose Sam Howell over just having Lamar Jackson. No, they chose Sam Howell over Lamar Jackson at $50 million per year and two first-round picks and a contract that you can't get out of no matter what because you're guaranteeing him a huge portion of the deal and maybe giving him a no-trade to come over here. And whatever else you got to sweeten and whatever silver bullet mm-hmm. you got to add to the package so the Ravens don't match it. Jimmy Garoppolo versus Hal, same kind of deal. Like, if Jimmy Garoppolo was willing to play, at Hal's pay, they probably would prefer Garoppolo. Aaron Rodgers costs a ton of money. Your cap space, your flexibility in the next few years are gone, not to mention his age. Like, there are just factors here. Everyone suggests or assumes that they just think Hal's better than everybody, and I don't think that's the case, but I'll keep reading here. They have Jacoby Brissett in case something happens to Hal, but they're making good on their statements that Hal will open the season as their guy. He has a nice receiving core to work with, and if the defense plays well, this is a team that can sneak up on people this year. Heck, the good vibes around the ownership change should make him more fun and relaxed in Washington either way. But a lot hinges on whether Howe is really ready to be an NFL starter. And again, I don't see any way anyone can know for sure whether he is. Here's what I love about that. And frankly, this is my favorite thing about this whole offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I really do believe that the Sam Howe 2023 campaign is absolutely a wild card. It's impossible to know how he's going to play. And this, to me, this is going to sound over the top and dramatic. It's what I love about sports. Like, he could be exceptional, and he could be the next great story in all of sports. And a year from now, Washington could have unearthed this gem, and they found their, you know, 12-year answer in the fifth round. Or, very likely, by the way, he's not that. He falls on his face or just doesn't perform that well, because that's what happens 99% of the time with guys in the fifth round or later. And they go back to the well looking for a quarterback in a year. But that uncertainty and that unknown.
The mystery, yeah.
It's so fun, man.
Like, yeah, that those debates. And
I love movies. I went and saw Fast and the Furious, Fast 10, on Friday night. Even though I hadn't seen the movie yet, there's only so many ways that's going to go. I got a pretty good beat on how this is going to work and what's going to happen at the end, who's going to end up happy and who's going to end up sad, right? Sports are different.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea what's going to happen. And we know Terry McLaurin's good. We know John Allen's good. We know when guys are bad. Sam Howell is just a complete unknown. That's so fun to me.
One of my axioms about sports and sports fandom is the small sample size quarterback. He is always so much more popular than the person that we've seen perform poorly. This is known, right? Especially, you know, in football circles and, you know, sports radio and places, people that cover stuff. How many times has the backup quarterback here been more popular than the starter? It's time in memoriam. It's everyone from, you know, Stam Humphries to Trent Green to Gus Frerotte to John Freeze to, you could go through a million of these names, of these guys that when they played well in the preseason that time or were okay in a short spurt, Taylor Heinicke, see him. When you play well in a tiny little sample, you become the darling. Because all we're looking for is that real deal franchise guy. When you don't have that and you haven't had it for some time, you don't know what it's supposed to look like. So any tiny morsel of non-suckitude is met with utter rejoicing euphoria in quarterback-starved marketplaces like this one. So you talk yourself into the promise and make it a reality. And that's what this whole offseason has been about Sam Howell. The point here that needs to be uttered, you already said it, he might be awesome. The point is, we have no idea. And you know what? They don't either. They can hope. They could want. They could desire. They see attributes. They see certain things. When the rubber meets the road, we will certainly find out, right? And that's kind of, as you said, that's the exciting thing. But it's also, that's kind of the, what am I looking for exactly to try to say this the right way? That's kind of my frustration here is they're just going to get to enjoy, talking about this regime, whether it's the Martys and Ron and company, they get to enjoy this boat ride that they're on of excitement at the unknown. Almost as if, you know, nobody's holding anything against him for kind of this weird plan or whatever.
Don't mistake it. That's part of the asset here.
Yeah, that's you know, I think that's why they did it.
You haven't proven that you're bad yet.
Mm-hmm.
We get months and months of people thinking maybe, just maybe, you could be good. I mean, that's a huge win for Rivera and Mayhew and Herney. Last offseason, the debate was, how could they possibly have given up this much for Wentz? And even people that were pro-Wentz that were excited that he was coming here, thought he could recapture his Philly times, there was a very loud contingent, I would say a majority, that mm-hmm. thought, we have seen this.
Yeah, I know what this looks like.
What this is. You can't do that with Sam Howell.
Right.
I mean, like, what in the Wentz conversation, if you're divvying up two camps of, like, pro or anti, him is the long-term answer. Let's even say it was, like, 50-50 of people that wanted to give him a shot and didn't. It's much higher with Sam Howell in terms of optimism, yep. positivity. If you're doing, maybe the better way to do it is presidential style, a approval rating, like we do our QB approval ratings
mm-hmm.
during the season. If you did a QB approval this time 1 year ago for Carson Wentz as the starter long-term for Washington, I think that number would be like 40-some percent, right? With Sam Howell, that number is like 80-some percent.
Right now it is, yeah.
It's just so positive because it was one game.
Mm-hmm.
He beat the Cowboys, that Colt McCoy cologne. And, oh, by the way, he was a draft pick. There's nothing more exciting than a guy you drafted that hasn't really played badly for you yet.
I mean, the debate last year was, right now was.
And we all love the underdog story of him being a late-round pick.
Yeah, last year's debate was, okay, it didn't work out in these last two places. Here's why it's going to work here. That's not a great starting point. You know what I mean? Like convincing yourself that the whoopsie-daisy organization is going to be the one that finally gets this guy back on the right track, talking about Wentz. What's the conversation this year? Sam Howell's the man for true. Watch all the things he can do with that football. He can sling that old pigskin, I tell you. That's what we're doing. We're optimistic Oliver right now.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Our double play comes your way next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And in 20 minutes, your chance to win tickets to go see Birdie Boy, Bert Kreischer, right here on the Fan. G&D on the Fan, our double play coming your way in just a moment. The PGA Championship was this past weekend. Actually, pretty entertaining, and a lot of people discussing some of the particulars because you had some great storylines, including Brooks Koepka coming back from the dead. Danny, you watched the Full Swing on Netflix series, right?
Yes.
PGA Tour. We saw Brooks Koepka at the basically rock bottom. know, the scraping the barrel on confidence and thought he would never be able to be a good golfer again. And I mean, he was just, you saw it like I did, right? I mean, he just said it's over for me, basically. I mean, he was really down on himself. He is all the way back, man, -9 to win the PGA title and outlast Scottie Scheffler. But there was actually, have you seen the story of this guy, Michael Block?
No.
So this dude is he's the pro at a golf course out in California. It's a public course.
So he's like Tin Cup McElvoy, basically.
Essentially. He, all weekend long, was the star of the show, had a hole-in-one, finished 15th in a field with 99 of the top 100 golfers in the world, finished 15th. I don't even know how he qualified. Some golf person is will be mad at me and tell me. Here's how he qualified, idiot.
Cool.
But he qualified. He was playing. He ends up shooting +1, finishing 15th. Was in contention into the final day. Was like golfing side by side with Rory. Viral video of him being told you're going to be teeing off with Rory tomorrow. He like couldn't believe it. Then he shoots a hole in one. But there were some really good storylines. It was good TV, good theater.
My favorite storyline, and I didn't catch any of it, but my favorite storyline is it's a LIV golf person at the top of one of their big events.
Yes.
I love that so much. I love that no one knows what to do. Everyone's like pretending that they're happy about it, but inside they're furious. Just remember seeing on that documentary, like Rory and Tiger Woods are like leading the charge, like, you guys, we got to stick together. It's PGA. He's like, you know, we've got to make sure, of course, it's the PGA, like a regular old school golf is together and we're all in it. And they're not. And it's a LIV golf guy that won one of their precious things. Makes me so happy. Love it.
By the way, LIV golf's coming to the area. We got tickets. We're giving those away tonight at 6 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Before we get to our double play, let's squeeze Chris in Hyattsville in really quickly. What's up, Chris?
Guys, I am sitting in a Swedish sauna of steam right now.
Oh, I'm steamed up.
Whoa.
It's fueled by Mike Mart's comments on Sam Howe. I'm fully exfoliated right now.
You're ready to go?
Thanks to that interview. Yes.
That's a great line,
I'm
by
so
the way.
So steamed up.
Big Sam Howe guy.
Sam Howe is him. That's how, as the kids say, he is him. I think so. I'm excited.
You and Mike Marks?
By the way, great get. I mean, one of the great offensive minds in the history of the NFL.
Yes.
And you guys, what is he just doing, like, at home?
You can hear
like,
the birds chirping. He was sitting on his back deck.
Just hanging out.
Probably smoking a stogie.
Yeah, not the most energy, but quality. The quality was
appreciate
there.
Appreciate you. Yeah, the insight was great. We had him once before. And I do remember it was like...
We did?
Yes, we had him one time on the show probably a year or two ago. I don't remember, maybe around Super Bowl time or something. But he is very low energy, definitely. Which normally you want a little more pep in your step and pizzazz. But the info is just so good. And he did this awesome breakdown for the 33rd team.
Yes.
We saw it. We said, we got to get this guy on. And yeah, it worked out. So appreciate Mike Martz joining us here on G&D. Hopefully we can circle back and catch up with him into the football season. All right, it is time for our double play. Let's get to it.
GP, I do think you would like this show if you gave it a chance. We're at the penultimate episode for the whole series, not just this season, but Succession on HBO. So my first season watching this a couple years ago, I caught up a little after everybody else. I still think everyone needs to calm down about it a little bit too much. Like everyone overtalks about it. It is a little bit, it's different than a lot of things on TV. It's entertaining. It's well acted. I think the script writing, it's not Aaron Sorkin, but it reminds me of Aaron Sorkin.
I love Aaron Sorkin.
You know what I mean? Where everybody's sharp and they're very pithy with their comments. They're talking a lot of smack to each other.
Real quick, because it's going to drive me nuts. Is this the one with all the hallways or is this another show?
No, okay. It's not that one.
I always get that confused with.
Right.
So which one is that?
That's Severance.
Okay.
The one that's critically acclaimed that you couldn't be more wrong.
Severance thinks I might try this one, but keep going.
Succession. It's you know, people think it parallels, you know, certain goings on with like mega corporations, and you could draw your own conclusions as to which one everyone's talking about. It's its own drama, whatever. So you've got this dynamic patriarch of the family who is just he's just a bulldozer of a human being, right? He's, you know, you're in the circle, you're out of the circle, you're in the circle, you're out of the circle. And all the kids basically are fighting over, you know, his approval, but also the control of the company, those other kind of stuff, right? So we're now in the second to last episode, and I can't spoil anything for you because I do hope you watch it, and I won't spoil anything for people that haven't caught up in the season yet. But it's basically now the knives are out, so to speak, with the kids fighting with each other, and battle lines are constantly being drawn. Every time you think there's an alliance, it gets broken by somebody crosses the line or does something for their own self-serving interest, etc. And I was reading an article about this. The richest man in the world right now that we know about, I'm sure there's like a sultan that's like, yeah, I'm not answering Forbes' call. I've got trillions, but whatever. The richest guy we know about, Bernard Arnault, who like runs all the luxury brands that you've heard of and seen. He's got this situation where he's like in his 70s and he's got like four kids. They're all like triple Oxford, Cambridge, world-renowned Sorbonne educated, all different specialties. They've all run individual companies in his empire, have all like done CFO here, COO there, operating media digital person there. And he's still in charge of the company, of his like empire. And he's basically like, at some point I will select my successor. I have not yet. And like he keeps announcing he's going to stay on for another year, another 2 years, another 3 years. And they're all like fighting it out for
all
control.
All the kids want to run it.
All the kids want to run it. Oof. And it's like real life succession. But anyway, it's entertaining. I do think it's still a little bit overrated, but I think you would like it a lot. Quality show, but it's wrapping up. Second to last episode was last night. Good.
All right, I'll be quick here, short on time. So, number one, I saw Fast 10. Yes. Yes, man. Yes. It is everything I wanted it to be. I've got some gripes. They're spoiler intensive gripes, though.
You can spoil it for me. Don't worry.
I'm not going to spoil it for those listening. I'll give you a couple of weeks to go see it. And if you ever want to interact, just send me a DM on Instagram at Grant H. Paulson, or maybe tweet me. We can discuss the film. I do have a couple of issues, but it's the most Fast and the Furious-y. I mean, it is just out of control.
Can you share your issues, or is that spoily?
No, that's what I said. I can't.
Oh, that's spoils.
Spoil related. But the cast, we got Diesel, we got Statham, we got Tyrese, we got Luda, we got Charlize Theron, we got John Cena, we got Brie Larson, we got Helen Mirren, and an Oscar will be coming home with me. We got Scott Eastwood, we got Jason Momoa, who steals the damn film. I mean, Jason Momoa is so good in this movie, it's outrageous. Just enjoy yourselves. If you're like me and you've been at this for a decade, soak it in like a sponge. Go get yourself some popcorn and a cola and watch a couple hours of a good film. Now, TV.
Okay.
That's movies.
Yep.
TV. The Night Agent. Any file?
No file.
Night Agent is really good. I was doing my normal Netflix stuff, and I would have to just skip past Night Agent over and over again because it just... For some reason, Netflix really wanted me to watch Night Agent, and I've never heard one person talk about it, hadn't heard anything about it. This is not a thing that I'm going to watch. I started watching it. I'm hooked. I'm like 2-3 episodes a night kind of situation, going to bed way too late, my wife yelling at me in the morning because I won't wake up, that kind of a deal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's a 10-episode series. Your boy has watched maybe 7 at this point. I'll finish it tonight. This is all within the last 3 or 4 days. We got a low-level FBI agent who is in some hot water. I won't go into more detail. So he basically takes a job where he just answers a phone. Then a person calls him. He gets himself right in the middle of something. And we got all kinds of conspiracies. Who do I trust? Who can I trust? There's a mole here. There's not a mole there. There's a lot to figure out for your boy. I love it. I'm really enjoying the ride.
So I have been unbelievably confused. You came in today talking about The Night Agent.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about the show The Night Manager, which stars Tom Hiddleston, who plays Loki and all the Marvel stuff.
Yes.
That was critically acclaimed, but that was like 5 years old.
Correct.
It's a totally different show.
This is a new show, new-ish, maybe the last couple of weeks, on Netflix. Do I think you'll love it? No. It's not like going to win all the awards. I don't know if there's such a thing as like Netflix just kind of throwing a good action show together.
Oh, there totally is.
But it is kind of like, it's just like, they're just feeding the beast here. They're like, here's a show where a guy does fight scenes and has a gun.
Like, not everything has to be Sophie's Choice. You know what I'm saying? It can be really fun. Like, on Amazon Prime, when I work out, I watch Reacher. It's just a big dude who's 225 pounds thumping skulls.
Shades of that.
Sign me up.
Yeah, I like it. I do. So if anybody has seen it and you want to interact, I always like chatting about these programs at Grant H. Paulson on IG or on Twitter. And with that out of the way, it's almost time to give away some tickets to go see Bert Kreischer right here at the top of the hour ahead of the Beltway Blitz. We'll do that next on G&D on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.